This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. I'm Darren Adam. Thank you very much for your company today as we head into the festive season. Yule is not very far away. I wonder if you've done all your decorating yet. My guest today was faintly horrified when I admitted that on the 1st of November, I had all my decorations up and all the lights up, much to my partner's ongoing horror. But I'm a big fan of Christmas. Kristín Vala Breiðfjörð is back on the show from the Icelandic Handicraft Association. Kristín, are you still horrified by that confession of mine?
I am a bit. And I am a Christmas person, but November the 1st, that's a bit early. But I know, you know, times are changing. People do like to put the Christmas decorations up a bit early, but right after Halloween, that's quite early.
I literally watched John Carpenter's The Fog on Halloween and then got up early on the Saturday, which was the 1st of November, and put everything up.
Oh, wow.
Not for the first time.
well, good for you.
But you do see around Iceland, people will have what you might think of as Christmas lights in their windows. And they're not, they're actually winter lights.
Yeah, they're just, you know, clear, you know, not coloured lights, just white, bright. Okay, you definitely, I can tell you like your lights to be coloured. But because it does get quite dark in Iceland. Mm. So, and I will allow that.
You'll allow that?
Yeah, well, I won't judge if you put, you know, a string of lights, just white, clear lights.
Okay, from and, like September to April.
Yeah, that's fine.
That's okay.
Yeah. But you know, as soon as you start putting your Christmas stars or even the famous Swedish Advent welcome lights, I think that's quite early to be put.
Yes. Now, someone told me that it's considered not bad luck, but a sign of distress. Actually, if you have the Advent bridge or the Advent lights up in the window too early.
If you have it all year round.
Oh, year round.
Yeah, that's quite upsetting to see. And you think, you know, the inhabitants of this house has problems. It's not that they're in the Christmas spirit the whole year round. That's problematic too.
It's a call for help.
Yeah,
it's like the bat signal.
Definitely. Okay. It's definitely you have to do a welfare check on that person.
Well, I probably would have the decorations up all year round if I was allowed, but they're not up all year round.
Okay,
that includes the candle bridge as well.
That makes me easier.
Okay, so let's talk about the decorating tradition then in Iceland, because here, as in so many other countries, it's not just me that's doing it earlier. We are seeing all those decorations coming into the shops.
Yeah.
Certainly by the time Halloween is finished, often by September or October.
Oh, yeah, September. If you go through IKEA, they have their Christmas decorations up in September. And so it's not unusual to see people, you know, especially with the commercialization of Christmas, you can see the decorations are up in the shops. So it's maybe, of course, when people see it and even grow up, you know, seeing the decorations in the shops quite early. Mm. So naturally, they will put the decorations up early as well. Yeah.
But Þorláksmessa, which is still a few days away.
Yeah.
Which is basically the eve of Christmas Eve, you might say, if you're thinking about it in non-Icelandic terms, 23rd of December. That was often, by a lot of people traditionally, I think, thought of as the day that you would start decorating and put the tree up and all of the decorations.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. And I still think for the older generation, that's the day you put up the Christmas decorations, or at least, you know, the Christmas tree and those kinds of decorations. You can put up your Advent lights, or, you know, the first of Advent, and you have maybe an Advent wreath where you light one candle every Sunday and so on. But you know, the big Christmas decorations often wouldn't come up until on Þorláksmessa, or December 23rd. And at least that was how it was for my family.
Yes.
We put up the Christmas tree on December the 23rd and not a day early.
Did you not want to put it up earlier, though?
No, because I don't know. I grew up putting the Christmas tree up on December the 23rd. Mm. And for me, that was like the natural order of things, you know, because, and also, you know, just for practical reasons, because most of us would have live Christmas trees and yes. they would shed their needles all over the carpets or the floors. So you don't want to put it up too early, because then by the last few days of December, it yes. would be all dried up. And you'll be, you know, pricking your, the soles of your feet on pine needles, yes. which is not pleasant.
But I suppose that switch to plastic trees, artificial trees, is something that we've seen a lot as well.
Yeah, well, if you have
years.
Artificial trees, then, you know, you can put it up at the beginning of December. And that's what my parents today, now that they're retired, they have an artificial tree. Mm-hmm. And because they spend every Christmas at my house, they don't get to enjoy the Christmas tree in their home. So they put it up quite early in December because it's nice and artificial. You don't have to water it. Yeah.
Well, that's certainly, for a lazy person like me, that's an absolute positive for sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about decorations. And, mm-hmm. of course, you are with the Icelandic Handicraft Association. Mm-hmm. And the way in which someone might create their own Christmas decorations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this might be for this year, mm-hmm. or possibly they might be thinking about what I do, which is to always increase the stock of decorations so they can be used year after year after year.
Yeah.
Any tips, any ideas that we should be considering in terms of creating something?
Yeah, we love natural Christmas decorations that you can make yourself, that are not bought in a store, and that, you know, also because with the commercialization of Christmas, there's just so much stuff and it's all plastic and it's really quite unpleasant for the environment. Mm. So I would say just going out into nature with your family to collect pine cones, because pine cones are always really nice. You can either hang them up with ribbons or just arrange them on a platter with some candles or so on, just, you know, don't set them on fire. And if you have oranges, which of course this time of year the shops are full of oranges, you yes. can, you know, cut the oranges into thin slices, put them in the oven and dry them out. And they make really beautiful, like, light catchers in the window, just hanging up orange slices that you can then, you know, you can compost them or keep them until next year. I have Christmas oranges that are, yes. you know, quite, you know, a few years old and they still look pretty.
Do they smell nice? Do
yeah,
they
smell
retain
really,
the
yeah,
aroma?
Yeah, especially yeah. if you're when you're making them, the house just smells wonderful and citrusy. And also we're talking about really nice smelling Christmas decorations, what I really love doing, because now in the few days before Christmas, that's when I make gingerbread with my children. And so I like to make like these big gingerbread hearts and then I decorate them with royal icing and then I hang them up in the window.
Okay.
And so then, you know, when Christmas is over, you can either keep them, but they become quite brittle with yes. time. But then you just eat them. Yeah. Christmas decorations that can't be eaten are really nice.
And there's a cheat there, isn't there? Because you can buy these tubes of cookie dough in the shops.
Yeah, it's really, really quite easy.
Which just need to be rolled out. And I mean, even I can do it.
Yeah, yes, even you could do it.
Although I did mess it up once because I didn't think that you put the icing on afterwards, so I...
Oh, right. That's an interesting mistake to make.
It was.
Yeah,
so,
well
so
done.
They had yellow icing exploding all over
these
cookies.
I can imagine.
Still tasted okay.
Yeah. Well, that's all that matters, really. Yeah.
So that's a shortcut. You'll find these tubes of cookie dough in all of the supermarkets.
Yeah.
But the pine cones and the oranges, that it's not completely free, but almost free. Mm-hmm. It's a very cheap way of decorating using nature. Does Icelandic nature mind if we borrow sticks and stones and pine cones from it?
Well, pine cones, absolutely. You can go into, you know, any wooded area and pick up pine cones and it's fine. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're going to take moss, that's not something I would recommend. You don't want to, pull up moss. But sticks and pine cones, that's fine.
Anything that's already fallen.
Yeah, that's
basically.
Already that's something that's just, you know, the tree has discarded already. You don't want to bring clippers with you or anything.
No.
Yeah.
And what about stone? Because I have collected a few stones that I'm going to, because I'm not finished my decorating yet, even though I started on the 1st of November. I'm going to paint some tree decorations and some tree figures and some snowman figures. Very simple designs on flat stones that I've found.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, then you can just go to the, you know, anywhere along the coastline and pick up stones that have a smooth surface, and then you can paint it. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. And acrylic paints, are they good to use? Or?
Yeah, definitely acrylic paints, because oil paint, it takes quite a long time to dry. Yes. So if you're planning on doing that now before Christmas, then I think maybe you would be a little bit too late.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And acylic paints, again, you can get them very cheaply in a whole variety of shops. Yeah. I mean, the same shops.
Yeah.
The same shops that are selling Christmas decorations in September are also selling quite cheap
acrylic paints. Yeah.
Acrylic paints. Yeah. Is there a new tradition forming, do you think? Because we've talked before about how people are sort of reconnecting with traditional Icelandic traditions, but also handicrafts as well. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's happening, or might it happen with Christmas decorations?
I'd like to think so. Because I like to browse through Pinterest, if you're familiar with that website, when I'm looking for inspirations for the house and so on. And I think a lot of people are getting, you know, fed up with the impact that Christmas is having on our environment. Mm. So making your own Christmas decorations that you can keep year after year, that has a sentimental value and also is kinder to the environment. I think people are definitely looking to that more and more. Yeah.
We talk about Yule, of course, when we talk about Christmas, because that is the word that came first.
Yes.
It's been anglicised as Yule in many other countries as well. But that's the tradition. That's what we're going back to. Mm-hmm. And here in Iceland, you will find a variety of decorative items that tie into Icelandic traditions. Let's talk about the Yule lads, for example.
Oh, yeah, the Yule lads, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't think how far through the season we are, but lots of them have already come down from the mountains, haven't
most
they?
Most of them have, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You will see decorative Yule lads for sale in shops. Are they quite easy to paint and draw? Is it possible to create your own Yule lads?
Yeah, if you can find online all kinds of pictures. I like to imagine, when I think about the Yule lads, that they wear traditional Icelandic clothing. So back in November, I was teaching our classes how to make like little figurines from felt wool, and we made like little Yule lads. They were wearing traditional Icelandic clothing, so made from wool, and you can find online if you look it up, like handicrafts, fundur in Icelandic, you could find, you know, some inspiration on how to make your own little Icelandic Yule lad. Yeah,
we should talk about grilla as well, shouldn't we?
Oh yes, grilla. Yes, Iceland is really dark during the winter, dark and cold, so it's no wonder that most of our Christmas traditions and stories, they're quite dark and scary, not at all light and bright and cozy. And Grilla and the Yule cats, you know, those creatures. Mm.
And we can talk about the decorations that can be made with those images, but the story's pretty grim, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a warning to parents that if parents don't give their children at least one item of new clothing over Christmas,
the Yule cats will eat the children.
Will eat the child.
Yeah.
So it's not great for the child either.
No, it's not great for the child. But I imagine, because, of course, you know, I like to think of it as a cautionary tale for parents that, you know, if you, and even, you know, way back in the days, if you were poor, then you had to clothe your child. And if you're going to give your child clothes, do it for Christmas, because if the child doesn't get at least, you know, one new sock or a pair of mittens for Christmas, then the Yule cat will eat them. So I like to think of it as a cautionary tale to parents, because, of course, little children can't really... Or, you know, maybe they were, of course, they were knitting, you know, as young as 4 years old, you know, back in the day. So,
and quite simple now to create your own grilla, your own Christmas cat. Yeah. If you haven't done so yet, you'll find images of her.
Yeah, you can
online.
Make her out of pine cones. Yeah,
So still plenty of time to do that. But it does mean that sometimes an Icelandic Christmas looks a bit like an Icelandic Halloween because of that dark.
Yes, because of the dark elements. Yes. Yeah, we don't have jolly old Saint Nick in a red costume.
But we do have Yulesveit.
Yes, the mischievous Yule lads that each They all have their special characteristics, and the names harken to, you know, like Hurðaskellir, who is known for, you know, slamming doors, or Bjúknakrækir, who steals sausages. So
yes,
it's really strange for foreigners to learn about the Icelandic Yulads.
And we sometimes, not entirely correctly, but we sometimes say that Iceland has these 13 Santas,
the Yule lads. They're much, much more, yeah.
But they're much naughtier.
Yeah, much naughtier, and there's so many of them. You know, they got edited down to these 13 Yule lads, but we also have Icelandic Yule ladies.
Yes, yes.
And with they have their own names, as I said, you know, that give us a clue as what kind of mischief they're up to. Like Flotnus, that pours molten fat into your nose when you sleep. Flot sokka, you know, that dunks your socks into molten grease. There's a lot of molten grease involved, yeah. They're all about mischief, yeah.
Again, edging more towards Halloween than Christmas, yes. I think.
Yeah.
When did... Because obviously we have Santa Claus as well. We've got the idea of someone coming around and delivering presents.
That's what they do now, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So that all happens as well. But when did that become part of the sort of Icelandic decorating tradition?
Yeah, receiving gifts in a shoe that you put on your windowsill.
Yeah.
That didn't start until just I was a child, mm-hmm. I think, in the sometime in the 80s. We were just talking about that in the office, that really didn't become a tradition or something that the Yule lads did until the, I think, 80s, maybe late 70s, 80s. I would have to ask my older siblings if they got something in the shoe.
But I wonder, was there ever a time in the sort of Icelandic decorating traditions for Yule when there wasn't a Santa Claus, because that's part of it now. There wasn't a traditional, what we think of as the sort of international Santa.
Well, yeah, the idea of the Yule lads is really old, and you have Jóhannes úr Kötlum who wrote poems about the Icelandic Yule lads, and that's how we got that set of 13 Yule lads from. But, of course, we got a lot of, if we look way back to the 40s when... we got a lot of influence from America, of course, and, you know, Christmas cards and decorations that were important from America. So, like, for example, my mum has, it's a cutout of a traditional Santa Claus that she's had since she was 4 years old, and she's born in 1951.
Okay.
So at least as old as, you know, the 50s or in the 40s, yes. You can see Icelandic Christmas decorations and at least... in the Nordic countries as well, they have their own version of the Yule lads, Julenissen, who's like a little elf with a red hat that may live up in the attic, and you have to feed him porridge or else he will do naughty things. The Nordics are really interested in mischief during Christmas time with, yes. You know, these little figures coming out of the darkness and doing mischief. So that's also, the Nordic countries have also their own stories of Julenissen.
Well, the other thing to mention is I always say at this time of year, being a dual British Icelandic citizen, one of the best things is that I get two Christmases. Because here in Iceland, it starts on the 24th of December.
Yeah, yeah.
And it starts when everyone gathers around the radio.
Yeah,
indeed,
at 6 o'clock. Everyone has roof on, because then you start hearing the Christmas bell. They start ringing in Christmas, and at 6 o'clock everyone gets up and, you know, kisses each other on the cheek and says, you know, Merry Christmas, Gleðileg Jól.
I think we actually broadcast about 7 or 8 minutes of silence.
Yes, before the bells start ringing.
At 6 o'clock.
Yeah,
and that's also when gifts are exchanged.
Yeah, on December the 24th. Yeah.
And then we have Christmas Day, which is the 25th. Mm-hmm. And then my favourite thing of all, sort of linguistically, on the 26th, which in many places is known as Boxing Day, here it translates as Annaðjól, which is basically another Christmas.
Yeah. Annaðjólum, yes, exactly.
So it's the third actual day of Christmas. And talking of presents, talking of giving gifts, because I think a lot of presents are going to be getting wrapped in the next couple of days. What about handicrafts and, you know, designing little trinkets that we can put onto gift packages and onto presents to make them personalised. Still time to consider all of that.
There's still
there?
Time if you want to, like a krill. Yeah, well, you can make all kinds of braids, for example. Mm-hmm. Just if you have any kind of wool thread, you can make little braids to wrap your Christmas present. My favorite way of wrapping Christmas presents is actually it's like a Japanese way of wrapping Christmas presents in cloth. So it can be used again if you know if you have a mum who's a quilter or does handicrafts, you can just wrap it in a piece of really nice fabric that can then be used in a craft project.
And that is a very sustainable idea.
Very, yeah.
As mm-hmm. well, because a lot of what we've touched on touches on this idea of sustainability.
Yes, absolutely.
And yes, a big tacky plastic Christmas with flashing lights and spinning toys.
Yeah, it's just you have this big bin on Alfagadaguru when you're unwrapping Christmas presents, and it gets filled with paper and plastic ribbons and so on. So I'm trying to go as eco-friendly as possible. It's something the kind of paper I like the best is craft paper, just the brown craft paper that you can. Because actually, if you're wrapping Christmas presents right now, buy brown craft paper. Take a potato, cut it in half, and then you can make a pattern into the potato and use the acrylic paint you were talking about, and you can make stamps on too. Like little Christmas trees and so on, or stars or something, so you can decorate your own, make your own patterned paper.
What a fantastic idea. Mm-hmm. So you just cut the shapes that you
just
want.
Just cut the shape into the potato, yeah.
Because my mother, she is very keen to hang on to the gift tags.
Yes.
That come every year, and then she hangs them on the tree for the following year. Yeah. I'm sure that tradition's mm-hmm. going to be maintained this year as well. Mm-hmm. So who knows, maybe she'd be ripping out the little bits of painted or printed shape.
My mum, if she gets a present with especially nice paper, she will iron it and keep it. Because it has such a nice paper. It's bought in a nice shop or something.
Shame to throw it away,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, you really? Just, keep it. You can cut out the shapes if it's nicely. It has a nice pattern or nice pictures on it. You can cut it and use it in other crafts. Yeah.
Because I think that Christmas decorations do tell a kind of story over the years. They form a sort of annual diary of Yule, don't they? Mm-hmm. You remember when you bought that bauble or something, happens to be. If you're making the decorations yourself, mm-hmm. or even small extra decorations, there's even more of a story there.
And it becomes sentimental, and it becomes something you look forward to, bringing out of the box every year. That's definitely the Christmas decorations I love the most are the ones that my daughters made when they were in kindergarten. So just from hama beads or little sticks or they made maybe little pine cone Yule lads with just the pine cone and a piece of wooden bead stuck on top and a piece of felt for a hat. That's my favorite Christmas decorations. Mm. Yeah,
I remember last year one of our Christmas programs was about a candle artist who worked with Kerti, mm-hmm. with old candles, and mm-hmm. she would melt them down and then form them into beautiful new shapes. And mm-hmm. lots of them were actually Christmas candles that hadn't really burnt down terribly much. So there was lots and lots of red in this mix.
Yeah.
And again, we go back to how dark Iceland is over the Christmas and winter period. Candles are a big thing, aren't they?
Yes, definitely. And one of the Yule lads, for example, is named Kertasnikir, or how do you translate the name? He's,
the candle thief?
Yeah, candle thief, or Snikir is more like he's, asking for, please, could you give me a candle?
Yeah, candle beggar.
Candle beggar, the word. Yeah, candle beggar. So, yes, it is, I think it's true for most of Northern Europe, where it gets dark really early and stays dark for most of the day. So candles and lights in Iceland over Christmas, it's a big part of the way we decorate our houses with light.
Is it easy to make your own candles? Because I think some people have a romantic idea that it might be a fun thing to, to do.
Yeah, you can buy your own wax and even beeswax. That's nice non-toxic ingredient for candles. I've made my own candles. I've made the called Konga Kerti or King's candles, where they like have three candles in one. Mm-hmm. So it looks like a candelabra. And what you need is, well, best if you melt the wax in a really tall pot and with water in it. It has to have like hot water, and then you put the wax into the hot water.
Okay.
But it's best to make the candles outside because it needs, it needs to be cold to let the wax harden between, because you have to dip it quite often. Yeah, but absolutely, you can make your own candles, and you can visit any craft store at this time of year, and you can buy wax to make your own candles.
Yeah, I've seen actually just in the supermarket, in fact, you can buy
candles.
Sort of powdered wax.
Yeah. I just bought it. Yes. Uh-huh. I've bought that as well. I have yet to try it, but yeah, you can buy, and that's more, you just put a wick into the sand, and then you have just instant candle sand.
It starts to form into a candle when it burns, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Can you scent the candles that you make? Is that easy to do? Because I
haven't tried, because I have pets at home, so a cat and a dog, and scented candles are maybe not the best idea.
Not the best
thing. When you have either small children or pets.
It also feels it might go horribly wrong, because it seems like quite a simple idea to just add a scent.
Then the entire house is permeated with the smell of, too much cinnamon, for example.
Yes, or something that doesn't quite smell like cinnamon. It smells like burnt cinnamon.
Yeah, it can go quite wrong. I think you have to be really careful with the portioning, how many drops of essential oil or whatever you're using.
Yes.
You have to be careful.
But loads of great ideas there. And it may well be the case that some people listening to our conversation already think it's too early, because we're still a few days away from Thorlaxmessa and have no decorations up yet. So an opportunity there to have a more traditional set of decorations, a more Icelandic set of decorations, and cheaper as well, because I think we've kept the cost down by suggesting the use of pine cones. And
yeah, it's free, provided by nature.
Provided by nature.
Yeah.
And much of it will last throughout the years as well. Well, even though we're a bit early, I'm going to say Gleðiljól.
Gleðiljól.
Have a wonderful Christmas time. What are your plans then? I think you touched on some of them there. Your parents will be with you.
Yeah, my parents are coming, and my brother is coming from all the way from New York with his daughter. So it's going to be a big family Christmas at our house. I'm really looking forward to it. Yeah.
And when should we take the decorations down?
I like to take them down on January the 6th, at the earliest, maybe January the 7th.
I think I do as well, because I feel like I've pushed my luck with my partner by then.
Well, yes, if you're putting them up on November the 1st.
It's only 9 weeks.
Yes.
he doesn't mind, but I don't think I would get away with leaving them up beyond the 6th.
No,
it's unlucky as well, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and also just, it's in January, the sun is coming up, the day is getting longer. You just want to buy tulips and clean your house and be, gone with all the pine needles on the floor, and you want to have a good clean.
But the winter lights we can leave up.
Well, you can leave the winter lights up, but please take down your advent lights. <by then.
laughs> I'm glad we've cleared up what we've got permission for and what we haven't. That's wonderful.
I'm glad I could help.
Kristín Gleðiljól.
Gleðiljól.
Great to talk to you, and hopefully we will again. That's Kristín Vallabrithjóð from the Icelandic Handicraft Association on Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. English@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English, with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is a daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.